Welcome. This is The Great Society by Carol Beatrice Fontaine. I'm your narrator, Theo Nguyen. Settle in. Rolichoke, all we have, inherited Lyndon Baines Johnson, stood before a joint session of Congress on the night of November 27, 1963, 5 days after the assassination that had made him president. He was 55 years old, a Texan who had spent his entire adult life in Washington politics. A man of enormous appetites and enormous insecurities, carrying the weight of a tragedy that was not his own, but whose consequences were now entirely his responsibility. "All I have I would have given gladly not to be standing here today," he told the assembled legislators, and the room believed him. Johnson had wanted the presidency desperately, had sought it for years, had been denied it at the 1960 Democratic Convention, and had accepted the vice presidency with the grace of a man who had no other choice. Now he had the office, in circumstances that left no space for triumph, only for the obligation to honor what had been begun. "Let us continue," he said. The two words were the simplest possible statement of purpose and the heaviest possible assignment. To continue Kennedy's agenda, the civil rights bill stalled in Congress, the tax cut, the tentative social programs of the New Frontier, required the political skills that Johnson possessed in abundance. Applied to a grief-stunned Washington that did not yet know what Johnson would make of the office. What he made of it was the most ambitious domestic legislative program in American history since the New Deal. In 5 years, Johnson signed into law more than 200 pieces of major legislation. He created Medicare and Medicaid, providing health insurance to 30 million elderly and poor Americans. He signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, finally demolishing the legal structure of segregation that had survived a century after the Civil War. He revolutionized American education funding, transformed immigration policy, established the first federal arts and humanities endowments, and declared war on the poverty that afflicted 1 in 5 Americans. The Great Society was a genuine achievement, ambitious, flawed, partially realized, and permanently significant. It was also the program of a man who destroyed his own presidency, pursuing a war he knew was unwinnable, who bullied and manipulated those closest to him even when he needed them most, who brought to the largest vision in 20th century American domestic policy a character too complex and too contradictory to be summarized in any simple narrative of triumph or failure. This is the story of both. LBJ's S. America, 1963-1964. Chapter 1. From the Hill Country, Lyndon Johnson's Texas Roots and Political Rise. The Texas Hill Country that shaped Lyndon Baines Johnson was a landscape of red earth, poverty, and fierce Baptist tenacity. The ranching and farming territory west of Austin, where the soil was thin and the summers brutal, and the families who made their lives there did so by the kind of relentless effort that left its mark on everything they produced. Johnson was born in Stonewall, Texas, in 1908. The eldest child of Sam Ely Johnson Jr. and Rebecca Baines Johnson, parents whose very different characters contributed in different ways to the son who would become one of the most consequential presidents in American history. Sam Johnson was a man of expansive social appetites, gregarious, politically engaged, a member of the Texas legislature who understood the democratic process as fundamentally a human business conducted between people who trusted each other enough to deal. He taught Lyndon the basics of Texas politics, the importance of knowing what people needed, the power of the well-timed favor, the significance of showing up when others would rather not. He also taught him, by negative example, the consequences of financial irresponsibility. Sam Johnson's cattle ventures failed badly, reducing the family to a poverty that the young Lyndon experienced with the acute shame of someone who had once known better. Rebecca Baines Johnson was the intellectual counterpart to her husband's practical politics. She had attended college when few Texas women did, had ambitions for culture and learning that the Hill Country circumstances frustrated, and transferred those ambitions to her eldest son with an intensity that shaped both his extraordinary drive and his extraordinary need for affirmation. She wrote to him throughout his life. The letters show both her genuine intellectual engagement with him and the emotional dynamic of a mother whose investment in her son's success was so total that it could never be fully satisfied by any achievement, however large. Johnson attended Southwest Texas State Teachers College, graduating in 1930 and teaching briefly in a Mexican-American school in Cotulla, Texas. The experience was formative. He taught children who came to school hungry, who were looked down upon by